I just want to say thank you to everyone who led us this morning, to Chris and Brandon and Emily, to the choir. It's just been a wonderful morning of praise to our Father and Savior and Lord. This morning, we're going to talk about God's good news. But I want to start with the question of why we celebrate Christmas. Some would say to give and get gifts. Others would say to spend time with family and friends. There are so many reasons why people celebrate Christmas. This morning, I want to focus on the real reason for this season: God's plan of salvation, Jesus Christ. Last week, I shared with you that we were going to start a study of the Gospel of Luke. One of the reasons that I chose Luke is his account of the birth of Jesus Christ. Luke's account is one of the most detailed accounts that we can find in Scripture, starting with Gabriel's prediction to Zechariah and Mary. However, to truly understand the significance of Gabriel's prediction, we need to start with Malachi 4. So if you have your Bibles this morning, I would encourage you to open up to the Old Testament right before Matthew, to the book of Malachi. And we're going to be in Malachi 4 just for a few minutes this morning. But Malachi 4, 1 through 3 says this: "For look, a day is coming, burning like a furnace, when all the arrogant and everyone who commits wickedness will become stubble. The coming day will consume them, says the Lord of armies, not leaving them root or branches. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go out and playfully jump like calves from a stall. You will trample the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day I am preparing, says the Lord of armies." Now, Malachi 4, 1 through 3 makes it clear that a day of judgment is coming. Those who are arrogant and wicked will become stubble. The wicked will be trampled. They will be ashes. And for those who are arrogant and wicked, this is their fate. I want you to imagine just for a moment that you're an Israelite. You have just heard that judgment is coming. As you hear this message, you realize that you're not a bad person, but you have done a few wicked things in your life. God is making it clear that everyone who commits wickedness will be judged, including you. Now, if we just left this at Malachi 4, 3, this would be a pretty depressing passage. But Malachi continues in Malachi 4, 4 through 6, and he says, "Remember the instructions of Moses, my servant, the statutes and ordinances I commanded him at Horeb for all of Israel. Look, I'm going to send you a prophet, Elijah, before the great and terrible day of the Lord's coming. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of their children to their fathers. Otherwise, I will come and strike the land with a curse." Now listen, God makes it clear that everyone who commits wickedness will be judged. However, he gives hope by promising to send Elijah, also known as Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Church, judgment is coming. However, God promises hope. Now remember, I asked you to think like an Israelite for a moment. You've heard this message. How do you feel? Some are going to feel excitement and anticipation, while others are going to feel worry and fear. The Israelites would have experienced all of these emotions after hearing God's message. Now imagine that a week goes by and God does not speak again. Then a month goes by, and another month, and another. You want to hear from God. You're waiting for this hope, but years go by, and God is silent. You wonder, where is he? What is happening? Where is this hope that was promised to us? For 400 years, no one hears from God. 400 years of complete silence. And then God breaks his silence to a priest named Zechariah. So let's turn our Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Now, we don't know a lot about Zechariah, except that he served in Abijah's division, and he was married to a lady by the name of Elizabeth. Both he and Elizabeth were righteous people in God's sight, living without blame. Elizabeth, however, was not able to conceive, which back in those times would have been seen by some as a punishment from God for some type of sin. We know that they were older and they were well past childbearing age. However, God breaks 400 years of silence in Luke 1, 11 through 14. And he says this, "An angel of the Lord appeared to him standing to the right of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was terrified and overcome with fear. But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah, because your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you will name him John. There will be joy and delight for you, and many will rejoice at his birth.'" God promised Zechariah and Elizabeth a son, but not just any son. Luke 1, 15 through 17, he goes on to describe John. He says, "For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will never drink wine or beer. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit while still in his mother's womb. He will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children." Where have we heard that prophecy before? Micah. "And the disobedient to the understanding of the righteous to make ready for the Lord a prepared people." God describes John as one who will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even in his mother's womb. He will turn many children of Israel to the Lord, their God. He will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. He will make ready for the Lord a prepared people. A message that any father would have been proud to hear. God heard Zechariah's prayers for a child and gave him one. And Zechariah responds to this good news with disbelief. Luke 1, 18 through 20, he says, "How can I know this?" Zechariah asked the angel, "For I am an old man and my wife is well along in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel who stands in the presence of God. I was sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. Now listen, you will become silent and unable to speak until the days these things have taken place because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their proper time." I am so thankful that Luke included 1:18-20. It is an incredible picture of God's grace. I mean, think about this for just a moment. Zechariah has been praying for a child. God has been silent for over 400 years. And he decides to speak to Zechariah and give him this promise. And Zechariah's response to God Almighty, who has been quiet and silent for 400 years, who is going to give him the exact thing that he asked for, is disbelief. I am thankful, though, that this is included, because what this shows me is that even though Zechariah responds in disbelief, God responds in grace. Luke 1:24-25 says that after these days, his wife conceived and kept herself in seclusion for 5 months. And she said, "The Lord has done this for me. He has looked with favor in these days to take away my disgrace among the people." God chose to still bless and use Zechariah despite his unbelief. What a beautiful picture of our God's grace and mercy. But Zechariah was not the only one that God broke his silence with, because just 6 months later, God will also speak to Mary. Now, like Zechariah, we don't know much about Mary. She was from a very small town named Nazareth. Nazareth was not on any major trade routes, and all important roads would have passed it. There was nothing significant about this town at all. And the commentaries say that Nazareth was never even mentioned in the Old Testament. So if you want a picture of how small and insignificant this area was, it really wasn't anything to talk about. We know that Mary was a virgin and that she was engaged to Joseph, who belonged to the house of David, and we know that he was a carpenter. But we know that Mary and her message that God gives her will change everything. Luke 1:28-31 says this, and the angel came to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." But she was deeply troubled by this statement, wondering what kind of greeting this could be. Then the angel told her, "Do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God. Now listen, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus." Mary will conceive and give birth to a son named Jesus, a son that will be like no other. Jesus is God's plan for salvation, and we see that in Luke 1:32-33, when he says he will be great and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end. God describes Jesus as great. He says that he will be called the Son of the Most High and the Lord God. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. There won't be another king after Jesus. And his kingdom will have no end, because it will last forever. Jesus is the Savior that God promised he would send, but he comes in a way that no one would have ever expected, born in a virgin, of a virgin. Luke 1:34-38, Mary asked the angel, "How can this be, since I have not had sexual relations with a man? How could I possibly become pregnant? How's this going to happen?" And the angel replied to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." And he references Elizabeth and says that she has conceived a son in her own age, and this is the sixth month for her who was called childless. For nothing is impossible with God. Church, if we believe that God created the heavens and the earth, if we believe that God can create life out of dust and his breath, then we can believe that God can place his son, Jesus Christ, with Mary, the virgin. And Mary's response to God was very different than Zacharias. She believed. Luke 1:38, she says, I am the Lord's servant, said Mary. May it be done to me according to your word. And then the angel left her. Two amazing pictures of God and his grace and his goodness and his plan for salvation. The Bible goes on to talk about that Mary quickly leaves Nazareth and heads to Judea where she wants to see Elizabeth. And when she gets there to see Elizabeth, she greets her, and just by her voice, the Holy Spirit speaks to Elizabeth. And Elizabeth instantly knows that she is the mother of Jesus Christ our Lord. It says in Luke chapter 42 that then she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and your child will be blessed. How could this happen to me that the mother of our Lord should come to me? For you see, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped for joy inside of me." That baby, John the Baptist, is already proclaiming Jesus Christ coming at 6 months in his mother's stomach. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill what he has spoken to her. Now, we don't know much about what happens during the next 3 months, but we know that Mary and Elizabeth spend 3 months together until right before John is going to be born. But we have a picture of how they spent that time together, because immediately after, Elizabeth recognizes who Mary is and what Mary is carrying, Mary gives praise for God's good news. And we see that in Luke 1:46-55. Such an amazing passage in time of praise that Mary gives to God for Jesus Christ. She says, "My soul praises the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, because he has looked with favor on the humble condition of his servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed, because the Mighty One has done great things for me, and his name is holy. His mercy is from generation to generation on those who fear him. He has done a mighty deed with his arm. He has scattered the proud because of the thoughts of their hearts. He has toppled the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has satisfied the hunger with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering his mercy to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he spoke to our ancestors." I think for those 2 months, I can only guess, or 3 months, that she was there with them, that they gave praise and adoration to God for giving Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. That's what we see that happens from the moment that Elizabeth and Mary see each other for the first time to Mary's praise, is adoration, thanksgiving, and worship for God. Tiffany and I this morning were talking. I have really struggled with, after reading this, the passage, the song, Mary, Did You Know? It's a great song. Mary, Did You Know? When I read Luke 46 through 55, Mary knew she was carrying Jesus Christ. There is no doubt in my mind after hearing her praise to God that she knew who she was carrying, the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who will come to save her and all of us. Mary's response to God's good news was belief and praise. So this morning, I can't help but ask the question of how do we respond to God's good news? This good news that we've heard this morning is not just for Zechariah and Mary. It is also for you and for me. I am so thankful for both of these stories because they teach us about God and his goodness and his plan of salvation. One, we see God's plan of salvation. Every person needs Jesus Christ. Malachi 4, 1 through 3 makes it clear that judgment will come for the arrogant and wicked. And all of us fall underneath that category. Every single one of us. Our wickedness may be slightly different, but we have all been wicked people. We have all been arrogant at times. Therefore, we all deserve judgment. However, God has offered us hope through Jesus Christ, Jesus who willingly came to make a way for you and me. He is God's plan of salvation, and it is only through him that we can be saved. Have you come to a point in your life where you have asked him to save you? If you haven't, we pray that you will. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. But we also see his grace and mercy with Zechariah. Zechariah responded in disbelief. God is silent for 400 years and comes to a man who wanted a child but could not conceive. God tells him that he's going to give him a child and he doesn't believe. Yet God shows mercy and grace despite his unbelief. God still blesses him with a child and uses him for his glory. Seeing this should bring you and me hope. There are times that we struggle with God's love and the fact that he wants to use us. This story brings hope to you and me when we struggle. Because if God can use Zechariah in a moment like that, he can use us for his glory as well. We also see a third thing from this story, and we see the types of people that God chooses to carry out his plan. Look at Mary, this ordinary girl from a place called Nazareth. She didn't have wealth, power, or prestige. Yet God chose to use her to participate in his plan of salvation. Seeing this should bring hope to you and me as well. You might be here this morning and you feel that God couldn't use you. I've heard it said sometimes that I'm too young for God to use me. Some here may say I'm too old for God to use me. Some may say I don't have gifts, talents, and abilities for God to use me. Others may say, Rob, you don't know who I am and what I've done. There's no way that God could use a person like me. That is so far from the truth. He wants to use all of us for his good. And listen, God has a plan for us that includes sharing this good news with the lost. He has chosen us to be the ones to share this story. Now I think about Christmas time and I think about our own family and how we're going to be around quite a few lost people in our own family this year. And I'm praying for opportunities to share this story with them. I know that we have neighbors all around us that need to hear this story. And I'm praying for opportunities to share this story with them. And I encourage you guys to do the same. You have neighbors, friends, and family members that need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. They need to hear that God loves people like Zechariah and God loves people like Mary and that he loves the world, that he would give his only son so that we could have eternal life with him. This is a message that has to be proclaimed and needs to be proclaimed to this world that so desperately needs to hear it. This morning, as we come to our time of response, I want to encourage you to reflect on how you'll respond to God's good news. We have seen two examples of responses. Elijah's of disbelief, and yet God was still able to use him. And Mary, who was fully willing to do whatever God asked her to, including having a virgin child. What an amazing response. I pray and hope that our response will be more like Mary's than it will be Zechariah's. But the good news is that God understands, and that there are times when there's a little bit of Zechariah in all of us. And he is willing to forgive. He's willing to show grace and mercy. And he's willing to use us despite that unbelief. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much just for these two incredible stories. God, we thank you that you didn't have to make a way for us to spend eternity with you. We thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace and your forgiveness. We thank you for your plan of salvation through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We thank you for providing a way for us to be with you. And God, this morning we pray for moments that we are like Zechariah, when you come to us and give us an opportunity to be a part of this plan. God, forgive us for the moments that we just don't believe. Help us, Lord, be more like your servant Mary, responding, here am I, use me. Lord, we just pray now that you will work in our hearts and that you will use us. Use us for your glory. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the altar will be open for you to pray. We encourage you to pray at your seat if the Lord leads you to. But at this time, we just invite you to respond however God leads you to respond.